You're listening to the Party in My Plants podcast, and you're about to hear a gutsy chat about going with your gut. Okay, it's not really gutsy in like a risky way, but it is gutsy in that it's fully about getting your gut out of any rut and helping poop come out of your butt. Sorry, I had to. Welcome to the Party in My Plants podcast, where I make healthy living as fun as a party so you'll, you know, actually want to do it and then actually feel, look, and live your best. I'm your host, Talia Pollock. Now let's get this party started. I am pumped that one of my favorite plant party products on the planet is sponsoring this episode. If you've spent but a few secs skimming my Instagram or binge-watching my YouTube channel, which you should, by the way, if you haven't, but when you do, you'll see that Sun Warrior Plant Protein Powder is the Kanye to my West, the Bees to my knees, the Wilson to my Castaway, something I would not want to live without. When I'm looking for a way to make my smoothies actually fill me up so I don't need a follow-up snack a few minutes after finishing my smoothie, I blend in Sun Warrior because I don't want to get bloated, gassy, or feel crappy after consuming protein powder. I use Sun Warrior. Because I am not a fan of protein powders with weird, chalky textures and nasty flavors, I use Sun Warrior. See, it's no wonder I blend Sun Warrior protein powder into every smoothie I make and bake it into almost every baked good I bake. If you want some recipes for doing the same, head to my YouTube channel, youtube.com/partyinmyplants. Click subscribe and you'll get an epic, easy Sun Warrior plant protein recipe in your inbox every month. And if you want to get your mitts on Sun Warrior for 15% less than the rest of the world pays to get their mitts on it, just use the code PARTYINMYPLANTS at checkout on their site, sunwarrior.com. Again, in case you sneezed as I said that, I said you can use code PARTYINMYPLANTS at checkout on sunwarrior.com to save 15%, my friend. The end. Of the sponsorship thing. I mean, let's get into the meat of the episode, or not meat, the tofu of the episode. My guest today is a gut's best friend. And probably after listening to this, you'll want her to be your personal best friend too. Robin Youkilis is a health coach, a wellness expert, a TV personality, my dream, an author and a speaker who's known for her straightforward yet supportive style. And she's known for her adorable daughter who steals the show of her social media. Robin's remarkably passionate about helping peeps go with their gut. That's the name of her first book. And Becoming Thin from Within. That's the name of her second book. Hey, well, that was convenient. All right, here's my chat with Robin. Oh, wait, first, one thing. Robin and I are both proud graduates of IIN, the Institute of Integrative Nutrition. It's a kick-ass nutrition training program which you can complete virtually that helps you learn everything you've really ever wanted to learn about healthy living, and then how to take what you loved learning about healthy living and turn it into whatever the heck kind of job you want to do that helps others be healthier. If you want to check out the curriculum and get more deets about this awesome program, you can do so in the show notes for this episode, which are at partyinmyplants.com/76. And I am stoked to be able to offer you up to $1,000 off your tuition if you mention my name, Talia Pollock, when you enroll. Woot woot! Okay, now on to Robin to talk about poop poop. Robin Youkilis, my Syracuse, Williamsburg, and Institute of Integrative Nutrition sister from another mister. Thank you so much for coming on my show.
Thank you for having me. I feel like we totally would be like stepsisters or something, right? And like we're the two little like, what are they up to now, those two?
Seriously, exactly. And you're right down the street from me, down the hood.
I am. Awesome. I am. And I need to copy your food ordering and habits because I'm over here like meal prepping my life away, and it would be really nice to be able to order some healthy food. So thank you for the inspiration, and I'm going to start doing that just a little bit more often.
That is the first time I've ever heard a professional meal prepper desire the life of a professional wing it eater.
So funny. We always want, right? Like what's on the other side.
You know,
my mom used to make all my food growing up. I had these crazy lunches. Like she would put brisket between two pieces of white bread and that was my lunch. And of course, all I wanted were, you know, ho-hos and ding-dongs. And the, remember when the Smuckers came out with the like pre-packaged peanut butter and jelly?
Yes.
Like I just wanted that, even mm-hmm. though like I was eating like homemade breaded baked fish between bread for my lunch. So
fancy.
Hasn't changed.
That's funny. I used to not be allowed to eat stuff like Gushers or Dunkaroos. So I would always like binge on Gushers at my friends' houses. And I've never told this, but I used to steal Dunkaroos from my elementary school cafeteria.
First up, you had Dunkaroos at your elementary school cafeteria?
Yeah.
And then, girl, please. I used to steal books from the library. I remember my best friend had this like really cute little unicorn that I just decided in my head one day would be mine. And then I got home with it. My mom was like, where'd that come from? I'm like, it's mine. It's just mine. Kids are so funny. I see that with my daughter today. You know, like if she doesn't want to see something, Alexa freaks her out lately. So she just covers her eyes. I'm like, good plan.
Great. Alexa, like the robot Alexa. Amazon?
Amazon, yes. Amazon Alexa. I'm sure we've turned like 10 people's Alexas on now.
That's funny.
But, yeah.
Oh my God. Your daughter's so adorable. How old is she right now?
She's going to be 2 at the end of the month. Wow. But don't tell the airlines that because we need to get some more flights in before she's officially 2. You know, you have to register. They can fly for free up until they're 2 years old.
I did not know that. All right. Mm-hmm. We will not let anyone from JetBlue or Southwest or United listen to this podcast episode.
Stop saying airlines. I'm going to get flagged
here. Okay, we will edit that out.
No, all good.
So you mentioned growing up and eating very fancy food. I know that growing up, you actually struggled with body image and food stuff for most of your life. You dieted pills and binging stuff, comparing your body image and stuff to other women's. So I assume that you've since broken these bad and sad patterns because now you help women do the exact opposite. So talk to me a little bit about, you know, what it was like growing up and how you broke out of this mindset and what the catalyst was to start changing your relationship with food.
Yeah. So as you said, I was very fortunate to grow up in a house where my mom cooked all of our meals and good food was readily available. It wasn't necessarily always the healthiest, but a lot of it was from scratch. And I didn't have at a younger age, like 10, 11, 12, like I don't remember thinking about food in any way. And then it happened around 13, 14, I would say, when my tush decided to, you know, make it to the party, like have a giant appearance in the rest of my life. And I didn't realize that that was a thing or something that I should be worried about until I saw all the other girls at school obsessing about it and obsessing, not just my butt, their own butt.
They're
all
obsessing over your butt.
Yeah, no, they weren't obsessed about it. It was just me. and really speaking very negatively about themselves and, you know, the thing girls do, which I hate to say that that's the thing girls do, but it is the thing girls do because no one talked to me about my body changing. Nobody talked to me about what health meant, how to treat myself well, what that could look like. It just wasn't the conversation. I was fed my food and I was kind of left everything else was left up to me. Unless you fell on the side of things where you were diagnosed with an eating disorder, for example. But most of the people I knew, these girls, you know, we were on the other side of that fence, but by no means were we healthy or had a healthy relationship to food and to our bodies. And so that sort of stayed with me through high school. My dad always struggled with his weight. A lot of people in my family, you know, the jeans, people like to say, not the denim jeans, but just, you know, those jeans that we fight, right? You know, my dad was always struggling, always on a diet. And my mom was always very naturally slim and slender and, you know, weighed like, I think 106 pounds when she was 6 months pregnant with me.
Wow. You know,
that was just my mom. And that was just my dad. And I took after my dad. And we were definitely cohorts in crime when it came to food. So I would see like he wanted a pretzel, like, you know, New York City, terrible, like garbage pretzel from the, no offense to the New York City pretzel, but they are actually really bad. We need to like, someone needs to artisanal that thing up, that whole industry up.
That's
but anyways,
true.
Just in the carts, you know, I know that there's some fancy soft pretzels that are definitely, I would say, worth it. But the old school carts in Central Park are definitely not. And he would want one. So he would get me to say, like, I wanted a pretzel so he could eat it. And I remember recognizing that that was weird, right? That there was something going on with my dad and food. And I remember watching his behavior and watching my mom hide the cookies from him and just that always being a constant topic of conversation. And my dad being on every diet under the sun. There's photos of him with his giant, not a Slim Fast, but some kind of milkshake. God knows what was in that in the 80s, holding up his giant glass of milkshake while we were all having Thanksgiving dinner.
Wow.
And so I really think I never knew what a healthy relationship to food was. I saw my mom who it just wasn't even an issue for her. And then I saw my dad struggling. And so I internalized that. And of course, all the pressure to be thin and look a certain way and just ended up in a big old mess.
Yeah.
And so, yeah. And so that kind of continued through college and, you know, eating cookie dough at 4 a.m. and all of that. And eventually, you know, in my 20s, I thought I was finding health. I was like, okay, well, I'm choosing whole wheat over white bread and I'm having low fat tuna salad and I'm getting a diet iced tea and, you know, just what was being fed to us at the time. And I was, at the time, I was also, for better or worse, I'll use the phrase, trying to make it as an actress.
Oh, and, I didn't know that about you.
Mm-hmm. Oh yes. I was a musical theater kid.
I was
Annie. I was in the circus. I soared through the air with the greatest of ease.
Oh my God. Yeah. What was your like circus act?
I did swinging trapeze. So it was basically an act that went over the audience in the middle of a musical theater show. And
that
I did Spanish Web. And yeah, which is basically, just so you guys know, theater, not theater, a lot of circus is just balls being really brave and pain, being able to withstand a bar digging into your ankles and underneath your, you know, your knees and arms and, you know, it's
balls
kind of a wild
pain. Oh balls my God. And Annie. Oh,
and
wow.
Annie.
Were you Annie?
I was Annie. I did Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat, Mary Poppins, Peter Pan. Yeah. I was a big, like, you know, together at last. Like full musical theater here.
That's awesome. I did not know that. Okay. So there's that pressure also in that world to, you know, have a certain body.
Totally. And so I was in my 20s in Los Angeles. And at the time, I was like, I was slowly going from a size 8 to a size 10 to a size 12. And I want to give sizes to tell people that someone immediately might think, well, you're nowhere near where I'm at. And how is this story relevant? Or some people might be like, oh, well, thank you for sharing that. That's where you were. And that's where you were struggling.
Yeah.
And part of my message in my new book, Thin From Within, is it doesn't matter how much, how little weight you have to lose or not lose even. It's just not feeling shame around having that conversation.
Right.
And I was living in Los Angeles and my weight just kept increasing. I was so sad and alone at night and, you know, eating all the foods that, you know, after my dinner and not really understanding how to eat, how to nourish my body. And my body was physically showing that. And I was also feeling emotionally heavier because things in my life were out of alignment. I didn't really know where I was going. I didn't have a path or a purpose. I was like, I don't get it. What am I supposed to do next? And thankfully, I eventually found my way to the Institute for Integrative Nutrition. I'd become really interested in cooking fresh whole foods, you know, not just the frozen ones from Trader Joe's, when I started dating my now husband. And I started going to the farmers markets in Santa Monica and just putting food together using fresh greens, fresh produce, Meyer lemons, avocado, you know, all the amazing stuff that they have there on that coast. And my friend was like, this seems to be a thing for you. You know, you're obsessed about food. Mm-hmm. You're obsessed about dieting. And maybe there's a career in this. And so I found that school and I enrolled in the next week. And that's it. That was almost a decade ago. And kind of like healthy became my new diet. Mm. Well, I'm eating all the kale. I'm eating all the kale chips. I'm, you know, eating all the paleo brownies or whatever. But it was still, I was still trying to fix my body and feed myself through my emotions rather than feeling them, rather than sitting with whatever it was that was coming up for me and just sitting with it without judgment, without needing to do something about it and just be like, oh, I feel shitty today. That's okay. You're still doing a great job. Like just that conversation. So that was a big answer.
Yeah. No, that was awesome. I did not know any of that about you. I didn't know your background in the theater. And I didn't know you started all this in LA. I thought you were a New York gal. I had no idea. So thank you for sharing. That's really awesome and interesting. And I guess what comes to mind is you know, so you went from performing to IAN, which I also am a graduate of, and you learned about healthy eating and everything healthy. And then you said you turned that into its new diet. How did you stop making kale chips the new diet, the new weight loss goal, and just sort of like settle into the body you have now? Because, I mean, as far as I've known you, you've, you know, been the same size and you look amazing. And it seems like you live this really beautiful life of ease and you just had a baby, well, 2 years ago. And, you know, you look amazing and it seems like you have a normal, balanced way of life now. So, like, was there a turning point after enrolling in IAN and, you know, helping you get to this balanced place?
Yes. So I thank you for saying all of that. It's funny. I definitely am in a different place now. And even more so just in the last 2 to 3 years, am I in a different place than even what I was preaching and teaching in my health coaching practice, say 5 years ago. And it's something that I, every single day, for it to look as balanced as it is and to actually feel balanced, not just look balanced on the outside, but feel the way that you're saying, I am on top of this every day. Okay. I know that I can have disordered view when it comes to food, that I can eat when I'm not hungry. I can eat through my feelings. And so that means I need to slow down, make sure I'm eating enough during my meals, eat the way that I'm teaching in my book that nourishes your gut, make sure your macro and micronutrients are covered. And then having these daily practices in my life that help me connect to my intuition, connect to my body, connect to what makes me feel good, and making those non-negotiables. And the turning point was really, I would say, right before I got pregnant with my daughter. And I started to realize, like, okay, we're starting to talk about having a family. What does that mean? Like, my body then becomes not just a home for me, but it is where I'm growing a human. And I wanted to make sure that I had the tidiest home possible before that happened, because I'd actually read some research that a lot of the toxins in your physical body can go into your firstborn's cells, which I guess makes sense,
yeah,
right? Not to scare anybody out there, but, you know, I just got myself tested for mercury levels and my thyroid and just all of that. And I really cleaned a lot of that stuff up for myself on the physical side of things. Emotional side of eating, I was still working my way through. So I would do a lot of infrared sauna therapy. I cut out tuna and other high mercury fish and just got really clean with my diet. And I got pregnant really quickly. And then through my pregnancy, all the emotional stuff around my body came like whop in the face. And I knew I was pregnant. I knew that was exactly what my body was supposed to be doing. I knew everybody said, you look great. But it was a mind F. Can I say that?
Yeah, we got it.
Yeah. The mind fuck of mind beep for me to look in the mirror and compare myself to other pregnant women at that size and at that stage rather. And I just realized, like, whoa, there's some work I have to do here. And so I sort of did the work. I let my body do its thing. And then I had my daughter, and going through the process of an unmedicated child birthing experience. So no epidural was pretty gray. And realizing, like, we tell our bodies, oh my God, your body is amazing. Like, oh my God, it's capable of all these things. Look at what it's doing right now. But there is no more like in the face moment of really realizing that than, you know, having a baby. So all of these are just another layer. These stories are just another layer in that story of me loving my body, of truly caring for it and not wishing it was something different or looked like something different. And in that process of all of these stories and these different layers in me that have changed over time, my body is now at a weight that it's supposed to be.
Right.
It's natural. I'm not trying to change it. There's of course, there's up and down a little bit, but I really don't worry about it.
That's
and
awesome.
So in the process of having her, something changed. And then in my postpartum body, again, something changed. And not in the sense of, oh, need to get back to that pre-baby weight. I was like, forget that. Like, first time in my life, it felt like, for me, again, at the time, working through this conversation with my body of, you know, no one's expecting anything of you. Don't worry about it. And so I didn't. I ate when I was hungry, which new mama is all the time. I was breastfeeding. I'm still breastfeeding my daughter. And so it was really about fuel and getting rest when I could and not putting pressure on myself. And I would say it was about a year in time until my body let go of you know, weight that I'd gained through my pregnancy, or, you know, whatever weight was there that was supposed to be let go of. And then during that whole time, I was truly nourishing my gut. So yes, a lot of fermented foods, doing the practices that I teach in the book. So that's always been a through line that has definitely helped me, because that strengthens your immune system, you know, boosts those happy hormones. That's all in your gut. And so doing those gut nourishing practices too. And then also, obviously, I'm talking about the emotional side of things as well. And so after having her and letting my body sort of do its thing, I would say in the past year, so this is in her past her first birthday until where we are now, my body has come even more into this new kind of like lightness. And yes, it's a lightness that's, you know, potentially a physical weight on the scale, although I have no idea how much I weigh. It's more what I describe of weight being a feeling in your body. So the feeling of my weight right now is completely different. It doesn't matter what that number is. It's okay, I'm meal prepping, I'm feeding myself the foods that feel good, I'm taking care of my gut, I'm doing those daily practices, and I've worked tirelessly over the past decade in my coaching career and how many decades before that to really shift this story that I've been telling you and sharing with your listeners. Like, really do the ground up work, do these practices, do what I'm teaching in the book, eat the foods that I'm talking about. And my body has responded.
That's
it's
amazing.
Just a wonderful side effect.
Yeah, girl, you're a walking billboard.
Thank you. And, so, but see, I could take that and put more pressure on myself, right? I feel like me 5 years ago would have been like, oh my God, people expect me to look a certain way.
Right.
You know, this is a gut health weight loss book. And, you know, I ate, except for two squares, I ate like almost a whole Hugh Kitchen chocolate bar last night.
Except for two squares.
And my very large dinner. But I'm eating in a way that's really fueling my body. And there's certain foods that I'm putting on my plate. And this is where I found my balance. And really my work with my clients is helping you find your own way. Your way may look like mine, but most importantly, it's like, how can you start to have that conversation with your body, with yourself, to hear what it needs? What's your intuitive food voice? That's a whole chapter I have in the book, is finding your intuitive food voice.
How do you find it?
Oh, girl, you got to get quiet.
Okay, I'm quiet.
I know. I'm sure this is something like, and I don't mean this in the Me Too, like trying to quiet women way. It's quite the opposite. I mean this in, you know, we've got so much more wellness world at our fingertips, right? Like, where there's places we can go meditate. There's 50,000 different kinds of yoga. There's amazing home workouts. You know, there's feel good playlists. And all of this is incredible. All of this is supporting our growth and our potential. But I want to really highlight here is none of that. And literally just sitting with yourself, staring out the window, listening to your thoughts, maybe writing them down, maybe not, but just being with yourself, being with your body, letting your belly out, letting your body breathe, and just asking some questions on the regular.
Is that when you say you know, you do this work every day, you have your daily practices, is that part of what you mean? Do you know, asking questions on the regular?
Exactly. So a practice I teach in the book is your morning minute. Mm-hmm. So it can happen in the morning, but it can happen anytime throughout the day. So I'm really into the space between, kind of refining the space between your work day and your evening. And that doesn't matter if you commute, if you work from home, if you're being a mom at home as your full-time job. There's a space between when you're kind of complete with that three quarters of the day cycle before dinner and before the evening. And so I really encourage my clients in my coaching programs, myself, my community, to just find a moment. You know, you're doing this all day, but really I'm highlighting that particular time where you just take a second, take a pause, sit down, sit in your car if you need to, hide in your closet if you need to, you know, tell if you have any support around you, like, I need 5 minutes, you can set the timer, and just hand on lower belly, take a few deep breaths and just say, what do I need right now? Or what would be most supportive for me this evening? Is there anything I need to know about myself right now? And likely you'll start to hear some answers. And then when you start from that place, then you'll get used to asking the questions more often and more often. Mm. So before you make your lunch choice, like, what would feel good for my body right now? And just taking that extra second to ask, and not just ask, but listen for the answer, and then strengthen the muscle that listens to the answer, right? So a lot of us hear that, like, well, I know I should order, you know, the greens with the squash. Should, right?
Should is different.
Should is different. And being gentle with ourselves and understanding that it takes time to be able to put that voice and that knowing into action. But I know that the more that we do this, that we tune in, we quiet down, we slow down a little bit, that that will start to become easier. And no, it took me years. Like, I remember my old apartment in the East Village, like standing there, you know, going from sweet to salty to sweet. And, you know, it never would have ended at one chocolate bar. It would have been when the whole bag of spelt pretzels or whatever was next.
You love pretzels. The spelt second pretzels, right? Pretzel reference.
Oh, yeah. There's a pretzels are like a thing in my
house. I'm like, don't do pretzels. This is funny. We're on a theme here. Keep going. Sorry.
Totally. And it's so funny is I actually haven't eaten pretzels in like years. It's so uninteresting. I'm like, they're like cardboard, you know, not cardboard, but like they're so just like bland to me now.
That's funny.
But yeah, sitting, you know, in my apartment, and I hear the voice saying, like, put the bag down, go to take a bath, go to bed, go read a book, but I couldn't listen to it. Hmm. And there were reasons for that, right? I probably wasn't eating enough during my actual meal times. I wasn't giving myself enough of fat or enough protein. You know, these things that we know, we're hearing more and more now. I'm not teaching anything revelatory, but it's really looking at your whole day. Are you getting what your body needs? Are you asking your body what it needs? And then letting the behavior at night or whatever that version is of my pretzel story is for you, letting that shift over time, and then adjusting our expectations of how much time that could take. It's taken me years to get where I am. And like I said, I still need to stay on top of it. So I'm not going from food to food during my evening.
Right.
But I have way more tools now.
That's
to
awesome.
Manage it.
So when you say stay on top of it, what does that look like? It's like just tuning in. Like last night when you tuned in, were you like, you know, body, what do you need right now? And it was like, I need a whole Hugh Kitchen chocolate bar minus two squares. And you're like, okay, great. Like, did that happen? Like how?
Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah,
exactly. And that's the difference we're talking about here.
It's
there was intention behind it. Mm-hmm. The food wasn't controlling me. I said, oh, I really want some chocolate. Oh, I know if I open a Hugh Kitchen bar, unless I like tell my husband ahead of time, I'm like, I'm going to eat most of it. That's okay. My food was really balanced. Mm-hmm. I worked out to like, it's no big deal. And even if my food wasn't balanced and I didn't work out and my voice was still like, eat chocolate, that's okay. There's probably some mineral I needed in there. I'm probably getting my period, you know, like it's all good. It's when you're in the chocolate drawer and you feel like you're out of your body.
Yes. When you hadn't thought, it's a conscious decision versus like just willy-nilly-ing it in your mouth.
Exactly.
Yes. Exactly.
And then it's no big deal. And then I wake up
you
and
can't
then
beat
that
yourself
conversation
up. Yes.
Around shame or I wish I hadn't done that or I slipped up or cheat meal. It's like, I don't personally think that for my women who come from a place of needing to heal some of their emotional eating issues, I don't even want to call them issues. I'm just trying to like call it something, right? Some of their emotional eating behavior should feel that, you know?
Right. I love that. That's amazing. That is awesome. Let's talk about, because you are the queen of gut stuff. And I want to talk a lot about gut. So your first book, Go With Your Gut, the name of the book, dove deep into the topic of going with your gut. So I'm wondering, you know, right off the bat, sorry, that was a very abrupt transition into gut stuff, but what does going with your gut mean and look like to you?
So first off, it's two parts. It's one, that intuitive piece that we talked about,
Great. Right?
So tuning into your gut, right?
I
We're
love
talking
it.
About your physical gut, your digestive system, but in that context, I'm speaking about your intuition.
I love
it. The center of you.
It's
meant to guide you. We all have it. It just needs a little bit of like, hey, I see you, girl.
Yeah.
You know,
like intentionally tuning into it. You know, I mean, would you say or agree with me that if you don't feel like you have a gut feeling, you're just not tuning in to listen to it. It's not just going to, unless it's like a major, major thing, it probably isn't going to be screaming at you. You probably have to get in the habit of, like you said, consciously tuning in and asking your gut, your, you know, spiritual intuitive gut what it wants. It's not just going to like scream at you through all the noise of social media and your life, like, this is what I want. Would you agree with that?
I totally would. Okay, and for me, like, you know, we teach what we need to learn. I'm a Libra, and my rising sign is Libra. My ascending sign, like, I am Libra through and through. And Libras are, you know, notoriously indecisive. And so me tuning into my intuition, getting quiet around that, and just keeping that conversation just at the tip of my tongue with myself, not letting that lie dormant for too long, you know, enacting that every single day, has taken away so much of that, like, should I? Shouldn't I? Yeah. Which has been huge. I can't say the same for my wardrobe and getting dressed. My poor husband. He's like, I don't know. I don't have the answer. Please stop asking me. I'm like, well, today I need an answer. Okay. It's
just That'll be the next book.
So that intuitive part. And then the second part of gut health that I teach is that the gut is the center of our core. I'm talking about, you know, our physical gut. So our healthy gut better absorbs the nutrients from the food you're eating. A healthy gut is going to send more of those happy health, you know, healthy hormones to our brains, to our immune system lies. It's how we're pooping, how we're processing our food. It is literally the center of our bodies in so many traditional medicine practices, modern medicine. There's a reason why gut health is everything that we're hearing about these days. And I love connecting to it because I think, and teaching about it, because I think it's such an easy place to start for people.
Yeah. Well, it's funny you say that, you know, everyone's talking about it these days, which is, it's fascinating because when I was struggling for 8 years with my gut, nobody was talking about it in those days. But you're right. I mean, it is a very popular thing right now to be tuning into the importance of gut health. And that's why I think what you do is so incredibly awesome, because you really not dumb it down, but simplify it, and you make it approachable and easy and fun. And so that said, I'm curious what a truly healthy, you know, like gut day kind of looks like. Are there things that you practice every day and recommend other people practice that would just help one elevate their gut lifestyle?
Okay. Yes. I'll give you guys a few. Okay. So first up, a giant, I mean, like embarrassingly giant, like 24 ounces, like huge mason jar of water, first thing in the morning. So I like to put a lid on it and put a straw, and I put it on my bedside before I go to sleep. So it's right there in the morning. If I have to go get it in the morning, it's not going to happen. And so I start with my water. Again, nothing revolutionary here, but maybe it is for you to have it first thing like that. The reason for that is we need to flush our system out. Your body likes it. It needs to be hydrated, and your body likes to have a nice poop. And so we need a little bit of a river for that boat to float down.
So, I love that. Okay. Great visual.
You'll never forget it. Never. So yes. So water first.
Just regular. It doesn't have to be special lemon water, apple cider vinegar. It's just water.
All those things are great. Those are all another step.
Okay.
So once the water happens for you every single day and you don't need to think about it, then yeah, go get your slice of lemon. Yeah, go add a little apple cider. Go add your aloe vera juice to it for sure. But most people are just like, just to get the water in, that's a lot.
Okay.
So know where you are. If you want the next level, do it. So water. And then next up, fermented foods.
Yep. That's so, your jam. You're like their number one fan.
Sauerkraut, kimchi, whole brine vegetables, kombucha, kefir, miso, all of these foods are meant to be part of our everyday diets. We're actually the only culture around the entire world that doesn't have naturally cultured foods like in our faces all the time. And our bodies need them. We're supposed to have these natural probiotics, these sour tastes, these sour sort of zippy tangy tastes. They help balance all the sweet that we eat, all the salty that we eat, all of our cravings. So getting them in helpful for cravings, but also for your microbiome. So, you know, when you're looking for these products, yes, it's amazing if you make them yourself. I have really easy recipes in both of my books. I've tried to, as you said, like dumbed it down as much as like as taken, make it as simple, as straightforward as possible. But 1,000%, you can buy your sauerkraut. I buy 75% of mine. You just want to make sure you're looking for raw, unpasteurized, probiotic rich sauerkraut. It should be in the refrigerated section of your grocery store, not on the shelves. Mm-hmm. And there should not be any vinegar. It should just be the vegetables, maybe some spices and seasoning and sea salt. And having just a few forkfuls with a meal or even just once a day is going to provide your belly so many good probiotics. That good gut bacteria help you have a healthy microbiome, which is basically the health of you, determines the health of the rest of your body.
Yeah. So would you say the rule of thumb is to get like one fermented thing a day? Is it one fermented thing a meal? Like just, you know, a little rule of thumb here.
Yeah. So I would say depending, start where you are. Mm-hmm. So if you're someone that's going from zero on this, then just aim for once a day, you know, put, you know, one forkful out of the jar, but actually don't put your fork back in the jar because you don't want the bacteria in your mouth mixing with the bacteria Ooh. That are growing in the jar. So that's a little tip.
You that is a nice tip.
A clean fork.
Thank you.
So just starting with a forkful, if you like the taste, then add it to your salads, put it on the side of your dinner plate. But ideally, you know, variety is huge here and the sky's the limit. The only thing, you know, you want to be a little bit mindful of, but I don't know anybody that's gotten to this level of eating too much is that it is high in sodium. So you don't want to be eating like a jar of sauerkraut a day, for example.
Or miso.
But yeah, but I would say exactly. But I would say, you know, a half a cup, even to a cup of different varieties is fine.
So, awesome. And booch counts.
Do you want to know like a day in the life of my ferments, kind of how it
Please.
Rolls out?
Please. Yeah. Ooh, okay. A little behind the scenes Probiotic. Here. Pull back the curtain.
Yeah. So here's where I'm getting my probiotics. So first up, I'm having quality, plain goat's milk yogurt for my breakfast. You do not need to have a dairy-based option. There's a lot of great non-dairy that they do add probiotics to. So, but that's where I'm getting mine. So I'm having a little bit of probiotic yogurt in the morning. Then with lunch, I'm typically having some sauerkraut. So I'll add different kinds. I have a turmeric one. I have a garlic one. I mix it up. A plain one. And then in the afternoon, I'll usually have a little bit of kombucha. You guys want to be mindful of the amount of kombucha you're drinking. Yeah. It's really supposed to be like 4 ounces. Mm-hmm. It's not supposed to be like these giant glasses, although I'm guilty of drinking the whole thing. Some days I'm just like, you can't. Yeah, that's your gut story right there. Your body knows. Yeah, we're not designed
They're
to drink
huge.
That much.
Yeah, I usually take one like of the GTs and mm-hmm. it's like 3 sessions.
Yeah, perfect. That's exactly what it's supposed to be. By the way, did you see I Instagram storied about the new flavor?
I did not. What is it?
Oh my God. It's blood orange hibiscus, which you don't really taste the hibiscus because I don't love hibiscus. And then there's something, rose. But the main flavor is blood orange and it's beyond.
Is it sold in the world yet? Or did you get a little sneak
peek? It's sold around the world. It's their like winter special edition. Ooh, you know, nice. Depending when you're listening to this, they may not have it, but I trust that they will have some other fabulous flavor. That's my newest obsession. And then with dinner, again, I'll find some other variety. So a lot of the times I'll have tempeh, which is a fermented soy product. And then I'll have whole brine vegetables, which is another ferment. I have these pretty and pink radishes. They're just sliced radishes that you add to a salt water solution and you leave them out to ferment. Super simple. So some other kind of ferment in my evening dinner. And that's kind of my like probiotic story during the day. Yeah. And then sometimes I'll take a probiotic supplement at night before I go to bed. But most of the time I don't even take that because I'm getting so much from my food.
Well, let me ask you this. It doesn't sound like based on your story that you necessarily struggled from gut issues. I mean, I have, and that's why I've, you know, had probiotics and gut healthy foods on the brain for years. But just so our people listening aren't like, oh, she's just doing that because she has tummy troubles. Like, no, you're suggesting this for everyone, right? For normal people that don't necessarily claim to have terrible digestive issues. This is just, you know, when you take care of your gut, you're taking care of the rest of your body, right?
I'm so glad that you said that. And yes, like, as you guys can see, like, yes, I had a lot of anxiety issues in my stomach, but that would show up in my stomach, but I did not personally have gut issues. Mm-hmm. I've always pooped like a pro, you know,
jealous.
Like, I could not mention that. But yeah, this is for everyone. And this is also in particular for someone who, you know, may be on a weight loss journey.
Yeah. How does gut health help you lose weight? I mean, I know that's what your newest book is about, Thin From Within. I love your book titles. Go With Your Gut, Thin From Within. Love a good rhyme. But how does, you know, it's all about how your gut connection, the mental, emotional, like we were talking before, but also the physiological, can help you lose weight. So how, you know, if in addition to eating your probiotics and your fermented foods, which is how you get your probiotics, for just like feeling good, how does it help you lose weight is the long question I just asked you.
No, I loved it. Great question. So, and I'm sure everyone's wondering that too. So yeah, a lot of the times you might be eating these whole foods most of the time and you're still not feeling great. And part of the reason for that is if your gut isn't in tip-top shape, so mind you, it might be fine, right? You might be pooping once a day. You're like, I don't have bloating. Yeah. I don't have, you know, issues like that. But that being said, like if you take antibiotics as a kid or you've taken them in your adult life, most likely, or, you know, depending on your birth story, breastfeeding story, you know, so many environmental factors, there's so many factors in play here that may not be having your gut show signs that it's not in its absolute best shape. So when you nourish your gut with these fermented foods and probiotics, essentially, it gets your digestive system humming along perfectly. And then when your digestive system is doing its optimal job, you're going to be absorbing the vitamins and nutrients from the food you're eating way better than without a regime like this.
Right.
And when you're getting more from the food you're eating, that's when you're, you know, you're feeling more, you have more energy, you're feeling clearer. And that's when your body a lot of the times can respond to that by being like, oh, we're really taken care of. We're really getting the macro micronutrients we need. If you're someone who does feel like they have some physical weight to lose, like it's easier for your body to let go of that system. You know, it's like low calorie plans, right? Your body's not getting the nutrients and your brain, your hypothalamus, your pituitary glands, they work with your endocrine glands and they retain calories mm-hmm. so that your body keeps functioning. And so when your digestive system is functioning optimally, your gut's going to get the nutrients it needs. It signals to your brain that you're satisfied. It's this whole like conversation that your body is brilliantly having with itself.
And cravings, right? I mean, you won't, when you're fully taken care of with all your nutrients, then you're less likely to have like weirdo intense cravings. Is that right?
Exactly. Yeah. And then these fermented foods help your body get the nutrients more efficiently from the healthy food that you're eating.
It's awesome. It's awesome. Are there common practices that you see peeps doing that are throwing a ruckus in their gutcus?
Oh my God. That was so good.
I said that with such a straight face too.
I mean, did you write that ahead of time?
I did.
I mean, that was, you did. Oh, you did. I just busted you.
I
mean,
I don't
like
care.
That, I mean, you're a comedian. You're, yeah. You should write, you should have some jokes. I always think too, I'm like, if I ever got on a Housewives show, I'm not that funny. Somebody would need to write some jokes
no,
for me.
No, you're funny. You got the energy. You could just do, pull from your circus act.
Yeah, exactly.
Takes balls. Just takes balls.
Fling into like a lady lunch date or something. So yeah. So number one, there's a lot, but one that I want to share today is drinking water with your meals.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I feel like we're myth busters right now. Bust that myth.
We are. I feel like we should have a cape or something. Cute little cartoon. So yes. So drinking a lot of water with meals, forget the like whether I was thirsty or not. That was a diet trick I used to do or that I mm-hmm. thought was a diet trick, right? Help myself feel full by guzzling a lot of water during my meal and I'll eat less food.
Right.
Here's what's happening in your body. Your body is warm. There's a digestive fire happening in your system. It likes to be warm. It does not like even room temperature water poured on it while it's trying to get its fire going, while those gastric juices are getting all juicy and firing off and processing your food. If you're diluting those juices, you're diluting their job, essentially. You're kind of like washing them down and they're like, hey, get the hose out of my face. I'm busy here, you know, getting my toasty on. And so You're essentially washing away those gastric juices. You're making it harder for your digestive system to do its job. Therefore, you know, those body processes, bloating, GERD, you know, heartburn, you're likely to experience more of that. And it's absolutely not helping in the context of this conversation, your weight, your physical weight.
That's helpful. And I know on the topic of like eating, you are a chewing, I don't know, I'm trying to think of a joke. You're like a chew, I don't know. I can't think of anything funny, but you love chewing. You talk about, I feel like you're rebranding chewing. You're bringing chewing back. You know, you always run these chewing challenges. Talk to us about why you like are talking about chewing, which is not the sexiest thing in the world to be talking about.
It's so not sexy. And I'm going to wave that flag. I know. I'm like, am I the chewing queen? I'm like, is there a cuter name we can come
I know,
up with here?
I'm going to keep brainstorming.
You know, and everyone listening, like, please throw your boat in the mix.
Throw your boat in the mix.
Please. I would love a better title around this. And you can name the name of one of my future books.
There we go.
Yeah. So I created something called the Chewing Challenge. You guys can sign up at thechewingchallenge.com. We'll include the info there. I run this challenge about twice a year, and it is 21 days of coaching content to get you to do this simple practice, chew your food more. And how did I start with this, right? I started with this because I myself had been through how many diets, right? Lost count. And the whole conversation of paleo, plant-based, vegan, omnivore, I just was having a lot of exhausted moments around the what to eat. And I was like, how can I help my people when it doesn't have to do with necessarily what they're putting in their mouth? How can I still help them in their digestive system and slowing down, right? We're all eating too fast. We're not focusing. We're not paying attention. What's something that I can focus on that has the power to change everything? And it's chewing. I read this one little book called The Power Eating Program. And the author, his father was in the Holocaust. And it tells the story of how he was one of the only survivors from his, I forget what it's called, but not the whole camp, but his barrack or whatever, because he literally would chew, and I'm using air quotes, his water that they gave him. And he had like one cup of water a day. And it was just like, oh my God, like that's the power of letting the saliva and the start of your digestive process do this extra layer of work and how that could affect your body. And he had one other friend that did that with him, that they would just keep the water in their mouths and let their saliva mix with it. And he was the only other survivor. It was this man and his friend. And this was this author's father. And I just clearly, that's kind of a story you never forget, right? And so rather than the way that I like to coach, rather than coaching people to slow down during mealtimes, right? You need to slow down during mealtimes. Yes, we know that. We've heard that. It kind of becomes like a should.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of focusing on what we're not doing, I like to give people a tool that they can focus on instead. So rather than slow down, it's chew your food before you swallow it. That's your only task here. Like, okay, take some breaths. Like, focus on chewing your food. And this is not an all or nothing, right? You do the best you can. Some meals are going to be better than others. Sometimes like halfway through my meal, I have to put the fork down. I have to put the fork down and be like, oh my God, I wasn't chewing. And I just remember and I pick it right back up. But it is such a game changer. It's where your digestive process begins. We're putting so much work on our lower area of our intestines, our stomach. It's actually not supposed to do that much work. And so my assignment for all of you guys is to slow down, focus on chewing, and see how that changes your life. You know, I've had clients write to me like they've been to every specialist under the sun, and that focusing on chewing to liquid was finally the thing that worked for them.
Wow.
That they stopped experiencing heartburn and that they started going to the bathroom regularly. When nothing else works.
So chewing to a liquid is what you just said. That's the goal.
Depends on the food. It depends on the food, right? If you've got a smoothie, ideally you just like, you know, you let it, eat it with a spoon. I recommend eating smoothies with a spoon. Let it hang out in your mouth for a second. Same with soup. Just give your saliva a chance to get those enzymes doing their job.
It sounds so nice. As you're talking, I'm like, ooh, that sounds so nice to actually like chew my smoothie. But then I'm also like, I chew my food. How else do I get it down? But then I bet if I actually focused my attention on, you know, like how I eat my protein waffles in the morning, like, I don't know. I guess maybe I'm not chewing. I don't know. I'm curious.
Try it. Yeah. Take the challenge.
What do I do? What's the challenge like? Is it just like every day you chew? Or are there like different aspects?
Yeah, it is that simple, but we do need support around something that simple. You get an email. It's a free coaching program where you get an email me in your inbox every day and just reminding you to chew and giving you reasons why. I also include recipes and just kind of some inspiration. And of course, there's a Facebook group and you can search the hashtag the chewing challenge just for fun food recommendations. And I'll probably be running another one either spring or fall. Cool. So stay tuned.
I love that. That's so helpful. Another thing that is so helpful is that you're a big believer in simplifying meals, which I could not be more on board with. I'm a huge cheerleader for simplifying meals. I'm curious why you are also a huge cheerleader for simplifying meals.
Because, I mean, recipes are great. And yes, I've written two coaching and cookbooks, but I would say 90% of the time I'm not making a recipe.
Mm-hmm. No,
90% of the time I'm doing a little bit of light meal prep. I break that all down in my book so it's not scary. It doesn't have to be this giant 5-hour project on a Sunday with 50 containers and the same boring, you know, food. But you can add in a little bit of meal prep, just roasting two trays of vegetables when you may roast one, or buying pre-popped vegetables, like letting it be really simple. And then putting those foods together. So I have so many foods that I keep in my pantry that are just ready to go when I am, foods that I keep in my freezer. I make sure that I have my greens. I wash them and chop them. That's one step of prep. I make sure I have my roasted vegetables. And then for almost all my lunch and my breakfast, lunch, and dinner, pretty much, you know, except for when I'm going out or rarely ordering in because I live in the like no order in land. which you've now changed, you know, with your caviar delivery. But you know, I'm just assembling. I'm really assembling, and it's got to be simple. There, you don't need to put a lot of thought into it. It's really like, how can I just make these basic foods really straightforward and just put them on my plate and be like, oh, look, I made food. And if I even make something into a taco, that's like a big deal.
Because then you have a cool vehicle for eating that food.
Yeah, but it's like, that to me is even another step. I'm like, oh yeah, I have taco shells in the freezer. I'm like, usually it just goes on the plate. It's like greens. I teach in the book, I have a rule of five plate, the good gut rule of five. So the five foods that you want to put on your plate at ideally around lunch and dinner. And
what are they?
Following this like takes the guesswork out of it. And again, make sure that your body is getting the food it needs.
What are the five foods?
Five foods.
Can't tease us so, like that. What do you think this is?
It's fun. So number one is greens. So this can be cooked greens. This can be leafy, raw greens. You know, do what works for you, but try and add in a little bit of variety. Number two is healthy fat. So avocado, olive oil, again, variety. I put nuts and seeds in that category because digestive system wise, your body cannot really process more than 1 to 2 tablespoons of nuts at a time. So think, my little tip here is I like to think of nuts more like olive oil and using it in the same amount. So you wouldn't like eat a half a cup of olive oil.
I appreciate that. I agree. They're very hard to digest.
They are. They just are. And they're very susceptible to mold and toxins. You want to, you know, be careful where you're sourcing them and store them in your fridge or freezer. Whole conversation around nuts there. After that, protein. So this can, of course, be plant-based. You know, depends on your preferences, but getting some good quality protein. Again, variety here. Next up, my star of the plate, your fermented food. So just getting something, get it in. You don't have to like it. If you really don't like it, you can mix it with a little bit of avocado. It knows the flavor of sauerkraut. And then the next one is interesting, and this was a big game changer for me, and that is a cooked vegetable.
Okay.
So that could be roasted broccoli, it could be roasted squash, but just having something that's been cooked has the natural sweetness come out of it. It's much more grounding, it's much more filling. You know, we try and keep our, you know, a lot of my ladies try and keep their salads light, right? They're light, but we need those denser cooked vegetables to really fuel us. Totally. And when I don't have that on my plate, like I feel it, like I can tell if there's some, if it's missing some roasted Brussels sprouts or something that feels like it's just got a little more love in it. And of course your body likes these foods too. I feel like that's when I'm snacking through my afternoon. So adding in these five elements, I'll do a quick review: greens, healthy fat, protein, fermented food, and cooked vegetable. And obviously this isn't going to be, you know, every meal, but the more meals that I eat like that, my body feel and spirit feel so much more in alignment.
That's so helpful. That's great. And so that's what you just assemble for lunches and dinners typically. And just, you know, on the topic of simplifying meals, I couldn't agree more that I rarely follow recipes myself. I do the exact same thing. I just throw some stuff together. You know, when I cook anything, I cook extra. So if I'm making quinoa, I'm going to make like 7 times that amount of quinoa. And there you go. I meal prepped without meal prepping, you know, like, and then you can just throw things together. How do you feel about quinoa and grains for digestion?
Depends on the person. Mm-hmm. Some people really cannot digest them. Some people have absolutely no problem with them. So I would say, again, this is an experiment. In the book, I offer a download for a journal, and I include a food mood journal in there. So just an easy way to track, you know, how you're feeling, what's going on, how do grains make me feel. That one I've seen all over the spectrum. I really have when it comes to people who come to me with digestive issues.
Okay. So really pay attention to how they make you feel. Would you say like immediately after, or like if grains are probably causing you a problem, even something like quinoa, which actually is a seed, but would you say that people should be noticing within like an hour how they feel, or what are your thoughts on that?
I wish I could say yes, within 24 hours, it's different on everyone. Some people it's an hour, they can feel their body, like their belly bloat up really quickly. Some people it's at night, next morning. I've read some research that it can still show up like 2 weeks later. I don't think that that's the case for most people. Mm-hmm. But I would say keep an eye on it for a week or two. And if you're unsure, go with my first book, Go With Your Gut, has a elimination diet in it. That's pretty simple to follow. And then go through that protocol where you do reintroduce
right.
How you feel for a few days, take it out again. Go, you know, if you're listening to this conversation and you're like, you know what? Like my intuition is telling me that there's likely something going on here that I need to do a little bit more investigating. My books can be a first layer of that conversation, right? There isn't a single person out there that doesn't benefit from chewing more,
yes.
Slowing down, knowing about the water thing. But, you know, do these practices first and then keep going, you know, get your tests, you know, get your thyroid check, get those scans from a naturopath or a doctor that's east and west, ideally, you know, keep going until you feel amazing in your body.
I love
because
that.
You deserve to feel amazing in your body. It
yes.
is your birthright. And that may not be how you feel today, but I trust that you can get you there.
Oh, yes. Thank you for saying all that. I love that. So you would say just start with the simple stuff. Start with the water, the chewing, the fermented foods, and then, you know, then go to the more expensive and, you know, challenging things like getting tested and removing food. But always just start with the basics, and that could be enough.
Totally.
Totes. Okay.
Totes.
I know you got to run to your fitness class, but I'm going to quick fire some plant party questions at you before you go.
Ooh, I haven't even had a cocktail for these questions. Okay. I'm ready.
Okay. What is your favorite plant party restaurant?
Plant bar. Oh, Westville.
Not really.
Yeah.
Is that just because we were just talking about
it? No, I'm telling you, when I said to you, that's like the thing I miss the most. I used to live near Westville. You have to ask for it in olive oil, though, not butter. They use butter.
What?
Do you not know that?
That could be why I always feel like shit after I eat Westville.
You have to ask for them to
Are
cook
you
your
joking? They no, always just standard cook it all in butter?
It can be butter or mix or different. Like they sometimes use different things.
OMG. Because I eat all the plants from them and I'm like, why do I feel terrible? And I don't taste the butter.
Mm.
Oh my God. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Okay. What about on the West Coast? You're always out there too.
Oh, Erewhon. The Erewhon Salad Bar. What else? Let me think about what. Mostly just Erewhon.
Is that nice grocery store?
Yes.
Okay.
So Erewhon's like the original OG health food store. If you haven't been there, you can't even imagine. Like,
I've heard. That's what everyone
I'm
says.
Stumbling.
It's like
I'm
indescribable.
Exactly. It is indescribable. I'm stumbling. It's that good.
Okay. Well, I was just in LA and I'm an idiot for not going, but next time I'm there, I will go.
And bring all your money. Bring all the money. The credit cards and the dollar bills.
Okay. What is your favorite plant to eat?
Probably kale. I'm sorry. I'm really nerdy with that
Lame.
Answer. I really enjoy it. I know that there's all those cute memes and gifs of like making kale taste good. You throw it away. But like I actually really love it. My husband in particular on the weekend will make it super crispy in the pan. I can't even get it this way. I think it's because he uses like half a container of coconut oil. But it's so salty and so oily and so delicious, and no other leafy green holds up that way.
It's true. It's
okay.
What's your favorite fermented plant?
Oh, radishes.
Oh.
Whole brined radishes. It changes the flavor. It just turns them into something that you would literally pay $25 a jar for.
And you have a recipe in which of your books?
And the Pretty in Pink Fermented Radishes in Thin From Within, or the Whole Brine Veggies from Go With Your Gut.
Perfect. So either book, you win with the radishes.
Woo-hoo.
Both books, you double win. What is your most used kitchen tool?
Lemon squeezer, my lemon juicer, which I was so hesitant. I was like, right, I'll just use a fork. But really, no, it's life-changing.
Do you have the one that it's like yellow and you put the lemon in and then like smush it?
Yes, nice. I do. But it's not the metal one. It's the like slightly fancier version of that. My friend got it for me and it was like, I'll never go back.
That's nice. I use my grandma's, so it's an heirlooms, like the reamer, I guess. It's like the bowl where you just push on top of it.
Oh, how cute. Yeah. I want a picture
it's
of that.
It's cute. I love it. Okay.
Thanks, Grandma.
What is a book that's inspired you in some awesome way?
The book that's inspired me in some awesome way. There's so many books. How do you pick one? What's your favorite?
Well, I always say actually add more ink to your life. And I know you're BFFs with Gabby.
I mean, her books are incredible. Just the fact that she gets all that down on paper so consistently that she doesn't let, you know, the mind F of life get in the way of her mission is really quite impressive.
I agree.
I'm really digging her recent one, The Universe Has Your Back. You know, it's funny. I'm just going to still say this. The Dan Millman Way of the Peaceful Warrior was a huge game-changing book for me and really shifted like my perspective on just, I don't know, how we can be more connected in this world, that it's not just all by chance. Like our stories happen to us for a reason. And I feel like that gave me just so much strength and so much power when I read that book. So I've said that a couple times, but I'm sticking with
it. That's great.
Dan Millman, Way of the Peaceful Warrior.
No one's ever said that here. I've never read it. That's perfect.
Oh.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
There you go. Okay. And where can peeps go to get their gut health on with you?
So my home base is my name. It's Robyn Youkilis. I'm sure you'll share that, but it's R-O-B-Y-N. Youkilis, Youkilis.
Simple.
And
easy.
So easy. An easier way without the spelling is if you go to Thin From Within or search Thin From Within, you can get back to my name and my website. And if you are a baseball fan, my cousin is Kevin Youkilis. So it is the same last name, if that helps.
I'm not a baseball fan. Is he a major player?
He used to be. And Boston peeps are like, you know,
he's a Red Sox player.
He was a Red Sox player. So they were quite passionate about it. But
I absolutely
remember my last name.
Wait, that's cool.
He is
and
cool.
He's retired.
We have the same booty.
Okay. Now I'm going to, in the show notes, I'm going to put a photo of him in it because that's cool.
Thanks. That's perfect.
All right. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show, for chit chatting, for helping people and sharing all your Thin From Within gut health messages.
Thank you for having me. This is awesome. I adore you.
For you. Thanks. Thank you so much for listening to the Party in My Plants podcast. I hope you're feeling fired up about getting your fermented foods on. In my opinion, there is nothing like a little kombucha and a fancy wine glass to wind down with. Also, in my opinion, it's a great idea to swing by the show notes for this chat that live at partyinmyplants.com/76 so you can get a thorough recap of Robin's tips, links to everything we spoke about, and of course, a pic of her baseball playing cousin's booty.